You please open your Bibles with me today to Luke chapter 17, verse 32. We understand that every word of the Bible is inspired, it is powerful, and it is meaningful. And sometimes when we read some of the Scripture, we kind of have to scratch our head and think, well, how is this powerful and how is this meaningful and applicable to my life? And today we're going to look at one verse that you might ask that question about. In fact, there's only one verse in the Bible shorter than this one. You know what that verse is, don't you? Jesus wept. I find people can memorize that one. But you're able to memorize this one. Let me give you the kind of context. These are words of Jesus Christ. And He is in the midst of talking about His return, what that's going to look like. And He references the age of Sodom and Gomorrah. And He says it's going to be kind of like that. People were living their life, had no clue. And all of a sudden, the sulfur and everything rained down from heaven. And then in the midst of that, He's saying, as you're looking for the second coming of Christ, it's going to be like that. And then He says this verse. You see it, verse 17, chapter 17, verse 13. Remember Lot's wife. Three words. So when you read that, there's at least two questions that you probably would ask yourself. One, who was Lot's wife? And the second question is, what is it about her that we need to remember? And so the title of the message today is Remember Lot's Wife. So let's answer the first question, who was Lot's wife? And so we go to some lessons from history. Let me kind of set it up for you and tell you who Lot's wife was. God was searching for a man that He was going to select, and through that man's family was eventually going to bring Jesus Christ. And the man that He selected was a man named Abram. And later He changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abraham believed and trusted what God told him. It was credited to him as righteousness. And the promise was, you'll be the father of many nations. And God has certainly brought that to pass, because if you were a Muslim, you would consider Abraham your spiritual father. Judaism considers Abraham as their spiritual father. And we as Christians consider Abraham our spiritual father. So God certainly did honor that. Well, Abraham had a nephew whose name was Lot. And Lot's dad had died, and so Abraham had taken Lot in as his own. And they were living there in the land that God said, I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants forever. It's the current land of Israel. And so they were prosperous there. Their herds increased, their servants increased. And it got to the point where there was too many of them to stay together. And so as fairly good evidence that Abraham and Lot were early Baptists, they split. And so Abraham said to his nephew Lot, the whole land is in front of you. Go wherever you'd like. Now that is an incredible option and opportunity, isn't it? There are very few times in any of our lives when we would say, the whole land is in front of me. Anything and everything is open to me. We need to make the most of those times, because every time we make a choice, we narrow the scope a little bit. And then we make another choice and we narrow the scope a little bit. So particularly young people, the whole world's in front of you. Be careful where you choose. And so Lot selected the plain of the Jordan River. And the Scripture says that it was lush, it was well watered, it was beautiful. Now, when you go to Israel today, you go up to a big rock fortress called Masada, and you can look out on the Jordan Valley that was once well watered and lush, even tropical. And it's not that way anymore. It is an absolute wasteland. Nasty wasteland. But at this time in the history of the earth, it was a really beautiful place. So Lot selected that, and that's where he went. Now, he kind of disappears for a little bit until he is no longer a nomad with herds and stuff. He's become a city dweller, and he's living in the city of Sodom. So Abraham is at his tent one day, and three men come up. One of the men is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. The other two are angels. And so they have a conversation with Abraham and say, should we hide from Abraham what we're going to do? He said, no, he's our friend. Let's tell him. And so they said the cry that's coming up to heaven from Sodom is that it's exceedingly wicked. We're going to go check that out and see. And if it's really that wicked, we're going to destroy it. Well, Abraham knew that his nephew was living there in Sodom, so he began to intercede. He began to, we call it prayer, a prayer of intercession, getting in between and praying. And so Abraham said to the Lord, would you destroy that city if there's 50 righteous people in it? And the Lord said, no, if there's 50 righteous, I won't do it. And then he kept praying. So what if there's 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? Then he got, what if there is 10? And the Lord said, if I find 10 righteous in that city, then I won't destroy it. And so the two angels went on into Sodom. The third one, Jesus actually didn't go. Just the two angels went. When they got to the city of Sodom, Lot saw them and brought them into his house. And while they were there, the men of the city, it says, came and surrounded the house. And they tried to break in and say, bring out those men who have come to visit you because we want to have sex with them. So there's homosexuality, it is rape, it is sexual abuse, it's just wickedness, perversion. I want to read a verse of Scripture to you that kind of helps us understand this. It's in Ezekiel 16:49. It is maybe some allegorical stuff happening here, but it gives us a principle. It says, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. And so when you take that verse, you understand that Sodom, being in that beautiful, well-watered plain, they were prosperous, they had discretionary money, and they had time on their hands. And then that allowed them and caused them to go into all this perversion. Now, Jesus said, when I come back, it's going to be kind of like that. And you know, in America today, it's kind of like that, isn't it? We've got discretionary money. You say, I don't have any discretionary money. Yes, you do. Everybody in here has discretionary money, meaning money that you can spend it on whatever you want. We have prosperity, we have ease, we have pride. And I will tell you, our culture has gone into depravity. And so it's kind of like those days. And so there you have then this city of Sodom. They're in really bad situation. So these two angels say to Lot, get everybody that you have and escape the city because we're going to destroy it. And so Lot's got his wife. He has two daughters. The daughters have fiancés. They go to the daughter's fiancés and say, we got to get out of here. God's about to judge this place. And it says the Bible said they thought he was joking, so they didn't go. So they still hesitated, and these angels took them by the hand and got them outside the city and said, flee, here's a place you can go, you'll be safe there, but you need to get out because we're going to destroy this city and the cities around it. Now, here's a couple more verses I want to read. Luke 17:28 and 29. It says, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. And so that's the kind of situation when Christ comes back. There'll be depravity, they'll have no clue, and then he comes. Now, one other verse, it says in 2 Peter 2:7, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed, by the sensual conduct of the wicked. He goes on to say, then He'll rescue us. And so here's Lot. He is distressed because of the city he's living, and God brought him out. Now, let me take a really brief side street. We in America are kind of like living in the days of this era. We are living in the age when there are movements, secularism, the sexual revolution fueled by what's called the LGBTQ+. There'll be some other terms added to that that we don't know about yet. Because 15 years ago, there were terms being used today that we didn't even know existed. Actions that were happening that we didn't even know what could happen. And these are making a frontal assault on Christianity. And so we're kind of circled up in the house, and the secularists plan to take no prisoners. You know that, don't you? But I would tell you that just as God was able to rescue Lot, He's going to take care of us. We're going to be fine. And we're going to stand as a church, and me as a person, I hope as our church, we're going to stand true to the Scripture. And even if we get surrounded, we're still going to stay true to the Scripture, because if God could rescue Lot out of that, then He will rescue us. We're going to be in the remnant that stays faithful. And so they bring them out, and then we get to the kind of moment to remember in Lot's life. As they left, the angel said, "Go there and don't look back. Don't look back." Genesis 19:26. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And so that's who is Lot's wife, and that's what we are to remember. And then Jesus Christ said, "Remember Lot's wife." So there is a lesson from history. I want to then turn to a lesson from Scripture. And I want to be transparent with you here. As the Lord was laying this idea of the message on me to preach this, I knew the gravity of it, but I didn't realize the gravity of it. Does that make sense to you? Because the verses that I'm about to read from the New Testament, man, it is a crying, loud warning about looking back. So let's go first to Matthew 12:43-45. And Jesus said, "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. And then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order." So the owner of the house looks back somewhere at this point. "Then it goes and it brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation." Then 2 Peter 2:20-22. "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled with them and overcome, they look back, the last state has become worse for them than the first." Then listen to this. "For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness, then after knowing it, to turn back, to look back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire." You may be thinking, "Brother Jim, you're not making me feel very good at church today." It's not making me feel very good either. But if it is a warning from Jesus, don't you think we ought to hear the warning? Now, I realize that the church growth people of our day say, "Don't touch anything like this, because you'll run people off." Well, I don't want to run you off. But I do want you to hear a warning from Jesus Christ. Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back," there it is fit for the kingdom of God. So you got this lesson from history about Lot and his wife. You got these lessons from Scripture about the danger of looking back. And so let's consider then some lessons for life. Now, let me say, first of all, what I don't mean. Let me just tell you that the Bible teaches without a doubt an incredible and beautiful and powerful doctrine called the eternal security of the believer. Everybody got that? That means that Jesus Christ is not going to let anybody go who is a believer and a follower in Him. And so this is not saying that somebody who has given their life to Jesus Christ and it was genuine and it was real, who falls into some bad stuff, that they lose their salvation. He's not saying that at all. You cannot make a case for that in Scripture. In fact, you make the case of the opposite, that you will never lose what God has given you in Jesus Christ. But there are some incredible, steep insights and warnings, and I want to help us understand them today. So he's saying those who have become aware of the gospel, maybe they went through the motions of embracing it, maybe they willingly said no, but then they end up back where they came from, then Lot's wife, they're going to end up in a very bad place. In fact, that place is worse than they were in before they ever heard. Remember Lot's wife. The danger of looking back. So I want to give you four quick statements. Are you kidding me? That clock isn't right. I better do this fast or you're going to leave me, aren't you? It's dangerous to look back because it increases the temptation to fall away from Christ. You take a look back at what it was before Jesus, and that increases the temptation that would draw you back into that. Now, I am not on social media. In fact, I know a lot of guys who are pastors who got deep into social media. They're getting out of it because it's destroying them, taking up all the time. So I don't Twitter. You're not going to see me doing a Twitter feed. I don't think you care what I had for breakfast or anything like that. Do you? No, I didn't think you did. And I'm not on Facebook. Jeanette is on Facebook. She is. She shows me stuff. Some of it's good. Some of it's not so good. But whatever. But did you know that there's a lot of families that have been absolutely destroyed because somebody on Facebook looked back? And they look back to like an old high school flame. And that look back increased their temptation, which ended up destroying their family. And so a look back will cause that temptation to increase. And it can cause you to fall back. Secondly, a look back reveals the true condition of your heart. A look back says, you know, I really wish I was back in that still. Lot's wife looked back because she really wanted to be back in Sodom. She kind of liked it in there. And she wanted kind of to go back. And so it reveals the truth. So I would say that if someone looks back after seemingly having gone through the process of coming to know Christ and they fall back, it may be that there was some serious flaw in their relationship with Christ. Maybe they got baptized without being born again. Maybe they got religion without being in a relationship. Maybe, who knows? But if you never really, truly got saved, then you're probably going to end up falling back. But a look back reveals the true condition of your heart. And then a look back will cause you to miss what's ahead. Now, when it talks about putting your hand on the plow, it's kind of interesting. The plows of this time had little, like a target, like a sight on a rifle. And you would look through that sight to a point across the field, And as you would keep your eyes on the sight, it would keep you plowing a straight row. If you took your eyes off of that target and you look back, what's your row going to do? So if you take your hand off the plow, if you take a look back, then your life is about to get crooked. And when your life gets crooked, you'll lose credibility and your testimony will be damaged. And really, your trust level will go way down. I had a young man, my first church that I ever served, and this young man was like 2 or 3 years younger than me, right around 20. And man, he was strong, good-looking guy, man. I mean, just, and he was in drugs, he was in alcohol, and he got saved. And man, he just started eating up the Scripture. And those days, there were a lot of churches having revivals, and I was being asked to preach in a lot of revivals. And one day, I would bring him with me and get him to tell his story, and it was powerful. Man, I thought, I have on my hands here a future superstar preacher for Christ. He's going to get famous and carry me on his wings to great places. Well, he started kind of missing church some, and I would tell you, that's a telltale sign when somebody's starting to look back. So just be aware of that. If you're kind of starting to get hit and miss in worship, that's a red flag. And then he wasn't there at all, so I went to find him, and of all places, I found him in an apartment building in a neighboring town. He was in a drug deal, and I came up on him in a drug deal. I was wild and crazy in those days myself. I just walked right in. I said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" He said, "Yeah." Went outside. And so he's looking down. And I said, "Man, what are you doing?" He just looked down. So I started talking to him. I said, "Man, where's this going? Are you walking away from Christ? What are you doing, man?" And he just kept looking down. Wouldn't even say anything. I said, "Well, can I pray for you?" He said, "Sure, go ahead." So I prayed for him. Walked off. I never saw him again. I have no idea what happened to him. I have no idea. I would hope somehow he got turned around. But he looked back, and when he looked back, he went right back into that mess. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. A fourth thing that will happen when you look back, it can remove God's hand of blessing on your life, on your family, on your career. Now, I don't know about you, but I think one of the worst things that would ever happen to me would be if God said, "That's it, I'm taking my blessing off of you." As a preacher, that would devastate me to be preaching without having a sense of God's blessing. I can't imagine being a pastor and God saying, "I'm removing my blessing for you." I can't imagine as a husband what that would be like for God to say, "I'm pulling my blessing from you, my hand of favor." That would be bad. I can't imagine as a father for God to say, "I'm pulling my blessing, you're looking back." And maybe even worse, I can't imagine as a pawpaw for God to say, "I'm pulling my blessing from your life." Wouldn't it be horrible to live your life without God's hand of favor on you? Wouldn't that be bad? Don't you think that'd be bad? Wouldn't that be horrible? And because that's not what Jesus wants for us, He had these three little words. Remember Lot's wife. The danger of looking back. Now, I will tell you, up to this point, it's a dark sermon, right? Well, I want to lighten it up before we wrap. How can we prevent ourselves from looking back? And it's real kind of simple, yet it's kind of profound. We've got to have consistency that's based on reality. And I choose those words very carefully. Consistency that's based on reality. The reality is that we really met Jesus Christ. That we really put our hands on the plow. And that when we met Him, He became the greatest reality in our lives. And I mean, He did change us. And He did actually touch us in that place nobody else could touch. He rewired us. He made us into a new creature. And our walk with Jesus Christ is steeped in reality. It's the real deal. It's not fake. It's reality. And based on that reality, our lives are consistent. And when I say consistent, it's consistent in a daily connection with Him. It's consistent in worship with other believers, large groups and small groups, to keep our lives focused, to keep our hands on the plow and we're looking down the sight. And our lives are straight. And we're not looking back because there is an incredible, astounding, glorious future that's out there in front of us. And so to embrace that incredible future and to embrace that absolute astoundingly place of living your life with God's hand of blessing on your life, one of the things that we got to do, we got to remember Lot's wife. And we don't look back. So what do we do with this? Two or three things I want to challenge you with as we get ready to close. We're going to have this last song in a moment. It's a time of invitation, commitment. And I would just invite you, if you're visiting with us today, or maybe you've been here a long time, maybe you're a member, but you've never really put your hand to the plow. And kind of Jesus Christ is still optional for you. And learning from Him and following Him and trust still kind of an option, yes or no, maybe. Then I would invite you just to step into the commitment to take the plow. Put your hand on it. And follow the Master. If that means a first time commitment to Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to make that commitment today. Because I tell you, He's got a better life for you, both now and in eternity. And He'll take you out of wherever you are and put you in a much better place. And if that's where you are today, I would invite you as we're singing to make your way down to one of our staff members who'll be here. And we'll help you begin the process. If you're visiting with us today and you're looking for a church where you could plant your life, then I would invite you to plant your life with us. It would be an awesome thing to welcome you into our church family today as we continue to hold forth the word of life. And we will stand with you and help you to remember Lot's wife and never look back. So if you believe that's what God would have for you and your family, make your way during the song. We'll visit with you, pray with you. We'll make that happen. Let me say this. Maybe you're kind of looking back right now. Maybe things have staled in your walk with Christ. You're kind of looking back at the other stuff like, you know what, that's kind of appealing to me. I kind of want to go back into that lifestyle a little bit. Maybe get a little excitement or something. Maybe I want... I would say to you, remember Lot's wife. And don't look back. Maybe you just want to pray. We got these prayer kneeling benches. You can come pray here today. Say, God, I don't want to look back. I want to go forward. We'll stay in silence. Maybe you know somebody who's looked back. You know, just this week, I know of four people in the ministry who've fallen. They look back. I'm telling you, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Maybe you know somebody who's looked back. Maybe you know somebody who once seemed to be walking with Christ, but now they're not. Maybe you just want to pray for them. Please come, kneel on the steps, and pray for them. So we got a verse of Scripture. The shortest verse is what? Jesus wept. Now you've memorized a new one today. What is it? Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife and avoid her issue. Don't look back. Let's stand together as we worship. Staff is here to greet you, to pray with you, and help you. May God bless you as you say yes to Jesus Christ. Would you come right now as we sing?